February 14th, 2017. Long overdue. Apologies for the delay in posting this. Here is my Gender Studies 101 paper in which I analyze the portrayal of gender in Hamilton and American Musical. This is my paper in full, including the works cited page and my typos. As a reminder, because I'm a nerd, I earned an A. I figured, for a supposed day of love, I'd share something I actually loved creating. Please enjoy. Hamilton, an American musical, is a cultural phenomenon that has captured the zeitgeist of my generation. Written by and starring Lin-Manuel Miranda, it garnered a record-setting 16 Tony nominations and won 11 awards, including Best Supporting Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Lead Actor, and Best New Musical. Its accolades also include a Grammy for Best Musical Theater Album, performed by the original Broadway cast. As its awards would suggest, this musical is advanced in multiple ways, including in its depictions of gender. In its casting choices, costume designs, and songs, Hamilton both affirms and counters stereotypical views of masculinity and femininity. When performing an intersectional analysis, one looks at general attributes one could use to describe or categorize a group of people. These classifications can include race, ethnicity, social class, and gender. Hamilton uses its diversity to its advantage in creating a dynamic and captivating show. Simply by looking at the original Broadway cast of Hamilton, one can already see how this musical differs from most other performances on The Great White Way. The majority of the cast members are people of color. Its three main leads include one Latin man, one black man, and one half-Asian woman. The supporting cast includes three black men, two black women, one Latin man, and one white man. Though there is a 7-to-3 ratio of men to women in the lead roles, the ensemble is an even split with six women and six men. Again, we see a group filled with people of color. Of the 12 people in the ensemble, only three are white. For a musical that is based on the lives of our founding fathers, the simple switch from history to art is a major change. In the musical, four actors play dual roles, the switch occurring between the two acts. For better gender equity, it would be interesting to see women play the roles of Lafayette Jefferson and Lawrence Phillip. In Act 1, Lafayette is a staunch ally and confidant of the main character, and Lawrence is Hamilton's closest friend. In Act 2, Jefferson is Hamilton's foe in the cabinet, and Philip is Hamilton's son. Giving the roles of Lafayette Jefferson and Lawrence Phillip to women would introduce interesting gender undertones, as well as give the musical an equal proportion of male and female main characters. On the surface, roles in the show trend towards the men, but digging deeper reveals greater female involvement than expected. The lesser-named characters, specifically characters played by the ensemble on a rotating basis, include three roles only played by men. However, one role crucial to the entire musical, but is never named during any song, is the bullet. Counter to expectation and stereotypes about male violence, the bullet is played by a female ensemble member. Also, all ensemble members play group roles: soldiers, voters, cabinet members, and Federalists. Though historically women weren't officially allowed to fight in the Revolutionary War or have the right to vote until many years later, female ensemble members are included in portraying these actions in Hamilton. Greater equality among the genders is shown if one were to only pay attention. An obvious and omnipresent prop for gender performance in Hamilton are the various costumes. When we are first introduced to the cast, we are also introduced to subtle displays of gender that will be maintained throughout the nearly 3-hour show. Initially, all cast members are in outfits made in plain canvas-colored cloth. The leading men, with the exception of Burr, the main narrator, wear a white shirt, vest, coat, pants, and boots. The leading ladies wear a dress with a cinched bodice and long sleeves. The members of the ensemble wear similar outfits, but delving into the details reveals the subtlety of gender display. The men wear a vest with no shirt, showing their bare arms. They don loose-fitting pants and boots. The women also wear a vest, but it is corseted in the back and has bows on either shoulder. Their pants are of a stretchy material, possibly leggings. The women also wear boots. The male ensemble members show off their strength in their arms and are given pants that presume work must be done, hence the loose comfort. The women are given tops that require someone else to help them dress, pants that accentuate their rear ends, and a top that includes a playful, childlike accessory. The counter-gender messaging via costuming occurs during the ensemble group roles. When the ensemble is comprised of soldiers, voters, cabinet members, and Federalists, the women lose their corseted tops and instead wear shirts just like the men, buttoned down and bare-armed. Both sexes sport either long coats as soldiers or gloved hands and pseudo-ties as voters, cabinet members, and Federalists. Since the women took up male roles, they are dressed in more masculine attire. However, the pants remain the same throughout the show. One stereotypical and gloriously on-the-nose costume choice was the outfit for King George. In a role played by a white man, the monarch comes out on stage in red fabric with gold trim, an ermine throw over his shoulder, a large gold and jeweled shoulder piece, and a crown. King George is a rich white man who is the symbol of the monarchy, the wealthy class, and white, straight male rule. He is unlike any other character in the show. Mostly solo singing in his musical numbers, opulence in his dress, a Britpop musical style, and a psychopathic need for control through violence. The character of King George is the very definition of hegemonic masculinity. Ultimately, my love for Hamilton begins and ends with the music. When reviewing the number and the focus of the songs, one again sees how gender is a part of the play. There are 47 named songs in the show. Of those, 3 are solos, 2 from King George and 1 from Eliza, the female lead. At first, this would seem like a point where men outpace the women. However, when you combine the times of both of King George's solos, you find that his total time is less than that of Eliza's one solo. A perceived bias turns out to be close to equity. When looking at the rest of the songs, there is more male than female singing. For the purpose of my analysis, I define a male-dominated song as one where no female leads sing, but the ensemble is included. There are 20 such songs in the play. There are also 7 songs where only the male leads sing, not even the ensemble contributes. This is more than half of the show. There are no songs, save Eliza's solo, where only the female leads sing. However, there are 3 songs where the women are the main singers and 14 songs where there is a mix of male and female singing. Though the men are given a large portion of the show, the women are still an enormous and important presence. Changing the casting of Lawrence Phillip and Lafayette Jefferson to women would go a long way towards equal gender representation in the singing. Hamilton features many different music styles, including classic Broadway, jazz, R&B, Britpop, island music, and, most notably, rap. Hip-hop is by far the most important language of the show. When analyzing the way rap is utilized in 2 songs, one can see how gender is again reinforced and countered. The power of masculinity is juxtaposed against the genius of the mind of a strong woman. Guns and Ships is a fast, meaty song occurring at the height of the war. The Marquis de Lafayette, played by David Diggs, uses the song to boast of his military prowess. He brags about triumphs in battle, making redcoats red with bloodstains. His leadership is credited by Burr, in his role as narrator, as a major reason why the colonists were successful against England. In David Diggs' delivery, the audience is gifted with rapid-fire lyrics. The lines are packed with middle and end rhymes, including alliteration, assonance, and consonants. Lafayette shows his bravado in the first half of the song, and then switches to praise his friend Hamilton. The entirety of the 2 minutes and 6 seconds are about war, fighting, cunning, and blood, stereotypically masculine traits. Okay, pausing, and I'll be back in the second half to finish the paper.